Vic, you're listening to Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii.
So this is Mae So, and you're listening to Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii.
Peace. Listen up, this is Danny One, and you're listening to Hawaii Hip Hop Histories via Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii. Check it out.
As a young, hungry MC just discovering Hawaii's underground independent scene, the first few individuals that welcomed me and my crew with open arms was this man. His crew, Homegrown Massive, was one of Hawaii's first conglomerates consisting of producers, MCs, DJs, artists, an elder statesman of Hawaii hip-hop, always opening doors for the next generation. His ear for sonically building music from hip-hop, reggae, drum and bass, electronic music is uncanny. His knowledge and experience on life is priceless. This man, I consider him the Dr. Dre of Hawaii hip-hop, sculpting and crafting Hawaii sound. This is the man, Daniel Garcia, a.k.a. Danny One. Bless. What up, Danny?
What's up? How you doing, Kev?
Bruh, I'm so stoked to get you on here.
So stoked to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely, man. So let's go. Let's take it all the way back from the beginning. So are you originally from Hawaii?
I wasn't born here. I was born in California.
Okay. What part of California?
In L.A.
Okay.
Montebello. Okay. And my father moved here when I was young, you know. So I grew up between Big Island and Oakland. My mom moved to Oakland.
Well, what part of Big Island?
Kona.
Okay. Okay, I'm bad with Big Island, but it's Kona.
That's the west side.
Okay, and Ka'u is totally separate.
South side.
Yeah. So you never knew that Taco was in Ka'u?
No, I never knew Taco Tell here. Actually, I had a studio with Taco for a good while. I worked on his A-side album.
Okay.
Me and Chris J, we did some beats on that.
Oh, nice. We talked about that, which I feel like is not... I know he doesn't like talking about it, but I feel if we're doing history, we got to talk about it.
It's what happened. Posterity, you know?
Yeah.
So you can't be there in the picture and then want to... Photoshop yourself out.
Oh, yeah. So you guys actually engineered some of that or recorded? Or
just made the beats.
Oh, you made the beats?
Yeah. It was all done in Audio Resources up on Yonge Street.
So you and Chris, shout out to Chris.
Yeah, Chris J, for
shout
real.
Shout out to Chris J.
Man, that's my mentor.
So you guys made the beats for A-Side?
No, we made like two beats.
Oh, two beats. Okay.
Three beats?
Who's the other producers on that?
I don't remember.
Wow.
I don't remember who the other producers is.
This is crazy connecting the dots on this because... I mean, I only mentioned A-Side because I want to talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I like the beat. Oh, no, we did do three beats because we did the same beat that bubblegum beat that was the guys from New York. Forget their name. But we did a Kikaida loop.
Oh, you sampled Kikaida.
Yeah.
Doom, what? Doom,
doom, doom. It was, okay. That was a tight beat. I almost just didn't want to give that, but...
Oh, I'm gonna look for that Kikaida loop. I'll try to chop it up on my own.
Yeah, that was a monster loop.
How'd you guys link up with Taco and A-Side? Who'd you know from the crew?
I knew Taco from, like, just being down at... by the airport. The White Stage and Lighting Shop was right next to Duran Sound and Lighting.
Okay.
And we just got to know each other. He was coming up as a DJ, and I was already playing. And we became friends, and then we actually lived like half a block from each other.
Right, right.
In Waialili.
Did you come out? Did you come up DJing first, producing first, or were you more like a b-boy?
I was graph writing.
Graph writing first.
I was just graph writing. First got known for just writing, and then
was it Danny One? Or
yeah, Danny One.
Yeah. So D-A-N-I.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
And what crews did you roll with back then?
The MIAs, Out to Bomb crew, and just pretty much me and Zach Alfrock. This cat that I also grew up with, Big Island, he used to live in New York. He's a local kid. And then he ended up in Oahu. I moved here with the mother of my kids before we had kids, you know, right after high school, June 10th, like 1985.
Oh, so you graduated from Big Island?
Yeah, June 10th, 1985, I moved here.
What school did you graduate from?
Haleoho Ponopono.
Wow.
Which is a city of refuge. It's one of the first continuation schools with a great teacher and her husband, Auntie Dianaki, and George, and it was that school made a difference in me. I was just kind of not really into being in line with, you know, behavior and, well, because, you know, the world's got to reward you. Things are rewards based, you know. If you got no stimuli, what's your motivation?
Yeah.
You know, so she was really nice, and Auntie Diana Key really made a big difference in my thoughts. And with that, I actually just ended up GEDing because my ex, who I had my kids with, was going to come here. And I didn't want to go back to Oakland. I didn't want to be stuck in Big Island. It was just too, not enough for me, you know?
Did you start writing in Big Island or when you came to Oahu?
Oh, I've been writing since before in Oakland.
Oh, yeah. So you were a writer.
Yeah, I was writing from when I was like seventh grade, dude. Like, Yeah, me and this little kid, Ronald Wong, TRM and Danny One, we would hit all the, you know what I mean, the AC Transit, the Muni. We just ride bus all day and tag.
So what was your, you have a crew back then or just you and your homie?
TRM and Danny One. Little Chinese guy, Ronald Wong. The Ronald Wong mark.
Yeah. So then when you moved from the mainland to the Big Island, did you meet anybody that knew what tagging was or bombing?
No, everybody used to get mad at me. Why are you writing on shit, bro? And it's like, I don't know, I write on shit. I'm Mexican. I can't even help it. It's innate.
It's in me. So then there was no hip hop.
No, there was B-Boy. You know, like, I mean, there used to be pictures of that were in the Big Island newspaper of like little Shane Doran. He was little. He could do all these like head spins. Yeah. When he was a little kid, though.
Right.
You know? But yeah, he was a little ripper in shoulder rolls and head spins. And you know what I mean? He's one of the people I definitely remember. There was a few people in Big Island. But when I went to Big Island, I'd already started. So being that there wasn't like really anything except for surf and, you know, that, and I would just junkie out on b-boying and graph writing, you know, beating myself, because every time you come to Kona, it's one school and everybody's like, oh, bro, what's up? try you out.
So then when you moved to the Oahu, you met up with Chris. How'd you meet Chris?
I met Chris, I think it was through Trans, you know.
Who was the first?
Well, because I knew them from Rhythm and Rhyme.
Okay. Well,
Doc was? And Ace and Chris J.
So what is Rhythm and Rhyme?
Explain they to were us. They were their group, a musical group. Okay. Yeah, they were rappers.
Nice.
Yeah, they had some shit going on.
And what style of like rap did they do? Was it more like a New Jack Swing type of style?
Yeah, it was like that 90s period. It was
so they're dancing, right, they're rapping. And
yeah, Doc Rock was, man, he was around for a lot of years.
So that crew was Doc Rock?
Yeah, Ace, the beatboxer.
Okay.
He was a preeminent beatboxer in those days. And Chris J. And then, man, I forget the other brother's name. And I think Daniel J was doing some beats for him. Rest in peace, Daniel J.
Well, Daniel J was doing like hip hop. Like
he was down with them.
Dang. Hey, rest in peace, Daniel J.
Yeah, no doubt.
So that crew, so you linked up with them.
I linked up with Chris J.
Right.
He was engineering for Rod, who owned gear, and we'd work some things out to like get some time in there, because prior to that, we were just doing 4-track cassettes. You know, we had got it pretty down. We had our beats ready. We were like 8 beats deep. You know, we were going to do 12. 10 to 12 was about the span that time.
So no MCs, just making beats.
No, we had beats and rhymes. Like I had beats.
You were rhyming. You were rhyming and Chris were
rhyming. I was backing up Trans and Mike, Mr. Mouse. And like, that's what we were doing, like Light Up the Doobie. And we were doing all kinds of Heads Will Be Rolling. And there's a bunch of that stuff too. That stuff never really got released. But that was really the stuff that was the foundation of the Homegrown Massive, because we started out with doing that, and then we were having an open mic because there just wasn't any open mic, so we had one.
What year was that?
Like 92, 91.
So you guys put on
That's when we met Jamal. Okay. Jamal left his ID at the door, came in, ripped the mic, and had to go back for his ID. I was like, whoa, yo, come here. And then like 2 weeks later.
What event was that, the open mic?
That was, we held it at the Pink's Garage, or Pink's Cadillac, excuse me, on Ina Road.
Right.
And it was just, you know what I mean? Just I think it was like a Wednesday night, like hip hop event.
Okay.
Open mic. Jamal showed up. And then 2 weeks later, like Mari from Radio Free Hawaii had us opening for Ice Cube Crazy Tunes. Like
2 weeks later.
Yeah, and WC.
That's
so we hanied Jamal in, and then we ripped that show. And then that show.
You ripped that show as Homegrown Massive?
No, as Lyrical Buzz.
Lyrical Buzz.
And then the second night, because it was two nights, had the Magellanes, Dwayne and Dexter Magellanes. They were part of Urban Joint. So they did the second night, Rough Mode.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I remember that.
Rough Mode.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I like Rough Mode. They're dope.
Okay, Lyrical Buzz was consisting of?
Me, Trans, and Mr. Mike. Or Mr. Mouse.
Mr. Mouse.
Yeah,
Mike. Okay. And then you guys met Jamal at that open mic.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you just
And then
jump
Chris
on with
J was like right there at the same time, like, because we were looking for things to expand on and record.
Yeah.
Because we were already like 4-tracked out, maxed, bouncing tracks. And we're like, man, we need more, you know?
Bouncing tracks.
Yeah. But you know what? It's good though, because I had already been mixing sound. So I already had an idea. I've been acquiring equipment from like XSDB, Kurt Weigert, and, you know, people, Eric at Hawaii Stage and Lighting Sound Services, And I was just getting pieces, and it took me some years to get it together. I ended up with a 32-track studio.
Nice.
But it was so much. It all got lost because it was just too much to keep. It's so much more compact now. The records was just, I mean, I wonder if Size and DMFD still got their records because, man, it's an obnoxious amount. It hurts your back.
Yeah, definitely.
And moving all that stuff. And every time you want to play, and it's like.
So when did you transition from being like a writer, graffiti head to like producing? Was it always in you?
It was always kind of in me. You know what I mean? I'd always knocked out beats like by hand on desks in school. Right. And you know what I mean?
What was the first record you sampled? Do you remember?
Man.
Or one of the first records. I chopped up that. I looped that. I got drums from that.
Man, there were so many. That time already I had an S900.
Okay. Oh,
and,
nice.
And I was looping. And Chris taught me how to chop and to disassemble and reassemble.
Wow. Shout out
you
to
know,
Chris.
Like, yeah, Chris was, he gave me a lot of foresight, like, wow, so you can do this. And it really made me rethink myself. You know, and then at the same time with sampling, I've attained the skill of playing piano that, like, I don't even know where it comes from. Right. It's beautiful. It's a reward. It's a reward for.
So you'd sample a piano note and then play it out?
Actually, anything. I would sample my friends. Like, I had this beat that was an M1, right? And at least this SR16, the S900. And then my friend Tony doing this part from Led Zeppelin that was Daisy Confused. Boom, wow, 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 wow. And so some of it was recorded, some of it was looped.
Right.
And Jamie Iketa from Broken Man, he helped me a lot. You know, that guy was another person that they helped me get my beats to smooth out. My beats were all right, but, you know, with you throw live parts over it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Lindy and Lahela, they'd always throw percussions in.
Wow.
Yeah, it would.
So it would just start layering.
Yeah, it would just layer. You know, layering is a beautiful thing. Adding to yourself.
So at that time, when Chris J was showing you these techniques, where did he learn it from?
Man, I'm not even sure.
He's from Radical Rob.
Yeah, Radical Rob had a lot of influence.
He's a real monster producer. Yeah, one of the first people that you've known that started sampling, chopping beats.
Chris J. Yeah, and I was too because I had S900. So
when you guys,
I was just taking parts. You know what I mean? And like looping, and then he taught me how to chop. And to reassemble. How to chop and slice and that, man, it just multiplied. It was.
Where did the name Lyrical Buzz come from?
That's for trance. Yes.
And how'd you guys, who knew MC Trance first?
Actually, I had a landlord. and they knew I was into DJing and making music.
Okay.
You know, because I was always making noise. And they brought Wayne in. Mike was their nephew. And they're like, hey, these guys want to rhyme. So. You know, people started showing up and I was already pretty much down the road, just doing my thing because, you know, music gives me peace, bro. Right. It's meditation for me. I could put everything that is everything and it don't get in my space. You know what I mean? It's heaven sent, bro. I'm really grateful for it.
Your landlord.
Yeah,
introduced.
Yeah, Trans. She was my landlord.
Oh, and Trans MC Trans is a
and I was her nephew. Mr. Mouse is her nephew.
Wow.
They're like, hey, you check out my nephew then. Right. And I was like, well, tell him come then.
What is Trans's real name?
Wayne Medeiros.
Wayne Medeiros. Yeah. Rest in peace. Wayne.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
So this is what area is this? Were you guys living in Makiki?
It started in Waterhouse Street.
Okay.
In Kalihi, and then ended up in Moyilili.
Okay. And Kim Lane. Where was MC Trans from?
Kalihi. Yeah,
was he down with anybody, rhyming with anybody, or was just like in the house?
Yeah, he got boys and everything, but they weren't MCs.
Right.
You know, they're just hits from Farrington.
Okay, so the landlord said, "Yo, I got my nephew. Yeah, and his friend
Mike. Yeah. They were already and they came and, you know, we just started throwing it together. And I'd already actually been just doing stuff with Heinsky.
Okay, Heinsky.
Yeah, Heinsky. You know
who was Heinsky?
Heinsky is Troy Hines. He's a Well, man, way before any of that, me and him were doing shows for China's Surf Meet in Waikiki.
What?
Yeah, back in the day, in the 80s.
Like spinning for them or like?
Yeah, spinning and he'd be rocking a mic at the surf meets.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, he'd do all kinds of stuff with Simplicity, who Johnny Sexton was another really influential.
Wait, so Heinsky, was that the MC on Capenna's album?
They were Naked Natives.
Naked?
Double J and Heinsky.
See.
And they were all about sovereignty. They were all about Hawaiian power.
I never knew that.
They were before, actually, any of the Sudden Rush trip.
So wait, Naked Natives was actually a real crew?
Yeah, that was two guys.
I thought that was just like when Buzz and Fame said it in the rhyme.
No, that's
Naked Natives. I thought they were just fooling around.
No, those are two cats, Troy Hines and Double J.
And they were more on that Sovereignty tip rhyming.
That's what they were on. That was their trip.
Did you do any music with them?
I did. You know, everything is... Actually, I'm lucky what I have.
Right.
And that's really because Bahi, because I gave Bahi out and like he put it on the web and...
Oh, good.
You know, yeah, like, yeah, man, I lost it all.
Hey, shout out to Bahi.
Yeah, no doubt. When I got those recordings back, man, it made me cry because so many of my friends had died. Walter Sole.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Walt.
Yeah, bro. I love Walter, bro. Man, High Chief was a man.
Do you remember when you first met High Chief?
Yeah. Him and Big Dave?
Yeah,
Ainga?
Yeah. When did you first meet the Ainga family?
Yeah.
Because I was known...
I met them in the clubs at Liquid Surf Den.
Okay, because when
we were doing Thursday nights over there.
When I met you, I felt like...
That's Capital Fat.
Yeah, I felt like you and... there was a connection. I felt connection with you and Aiga all
the
time.
Yeah, I was DJ for them too.
Yeah.
Marites, yeah. And then, you know, like my family ended up living in Marites. I've had a lot of connections with Khali.
Right, right.
I got a lot of love for Khali.
Well, the difference between, like, you know, High Chief and them, like...
Man, High Chief was a... Beautifully intelligent being,
that's
though,
what
man.
I mean.
Man, he was...
He broke the mold, I can
He was
say.
Amazing, bro. Like, right? I remember when he passed away and seen such a complex, incredible, beautiful being. And East made a beautiful shirt for him.
Yeah.
But it's just like, wow, how do you take that three-dimensional infinity and put it in a two-dimensional image?
So people that don't
big
know...
Big up to Rock Aeroscience for helping, like, you know, come down here for his... to do promotions for his, like, funeral and things, you know? Like, that's a love to Raka, dude. No doubt.
So people that don't know High Chief, you know, because this is like Ala Nui Mele trying to, you know, I'm trying to like chain together, you know, the branch to all Hawaii hip hop.
Yeah.
Speak on who High Chief is.
High Chief XL was the head MC. Him and Money Mike were from Mayor Rights. Big Dave was their manager. And Jeannie, who's their cousin, man, she did songs with me in like Abstract Rude. She did stuff with me and Orko, the psychotic alien from San Diego.
Shout out Orko.
Yeah, she was incredible. Jeannie's amazing, bro. Like, she's crazy, too. She's clairvoyant. She feels things.
Yeah.
So, like, it was always a trip being around
she
her.
Was Walter's cousin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's Walter's cousin,
Jeannie. And then Walter, vicious MC.
Yeah, bro. He was actually the bouncer. Yeah. When we were doing Liquid Surf Den, he's a bouncer, he'd be spinning. And then when we open up at the mic, at the end of the night, he just come murder it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, so that's what when you first met him at Liquid Surf
Den. Yeah, he was just doing the door, and like he come murder the mic. So then as it got, you know, we started developing a relationship, and, you know, we did it for a while.
Did you do tracks with High Chief?
Yeah. They got some of that on that thing that's on YouTube.
Yeah, any stuff that no one's ever heard of, or that's lost?
Yeah, lost. Wow. So much is lost.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, of all the tracks that are on there, it's just 40 something, I think.
Wow.
And there's like a bunch of people on it. It's and it's a constant mix. And that was before there were CDJs.
Right.
So I had to do it with like cut and pasting. It was a lot of work, but that was posterity for a time. It's time to put this away. This has been. I'm grateful for this being. Yeah. So I need to complete this.
Right.
In homage of like that section of my life.
Right.
Those people that I lived. And that have passed away, like Sarandi. Sarandi was an incredible.
Oh, shout out to Sarandi.
Yes, rest in peace.
Man, I mean, we might as well go to Sarandi because, I mean, when I first came on the scene.
I love Sarandi, bro.
Sarandi, man, he was all love. I never knew the guy for nothing. He's like,
bro,
yo.
He's love, bro. Sarandi was amazing.
Was he from here?
No, he's from California.
And how did you link up with Sarandi?
I think it was in KTUH.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Was he going here for school? What was?
Nah, he had family and kids.
Okay.
Man, he was another one who died too young, too. You know, it's like. Yeah, so much potential.
How did Sarandi pass?
I'm not sure. It was something to do with his heart, I think, you know, health. Same like Walt.
Right.
You know, live to die. Death comes. It's the final blessing of life. So, you know, it's like you're lucky. It's not that we die. It's that we even get the chance to live it all.
Yes.
Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
You have to embrace it.
Yep.
Not trip on it. Like, time is of the essence.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So let's rewind real quick. Sorry. Lyrical Buzz. You guys linked up with Rough Mode, which was two members from Urban Joint, which was the brothers.
Because Urban Joint blew me out of the, man, I was working for White Stage, and we were doing Aloha Tower, and Urban Joint, the four piece, those four guys, they came out, and who are these cats? Because I was already doing shit. I was like, man, who are these cats? I was feeling them, you know, they were like serious. They were like not perpetrating. They were like real.
Oh, that was one of my first hip hop shows. I remember seeing Urban Joint because it was the Magdalena's brothers, Tees
and Tad
and Smacks. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Smacks,
no doubt.
And Tees too. I'm talking to Smacks on Facebook right now.
Magdalena's brothers, Dwayne.
Yeah, and that family in general are talented.
Yeah,
surfers, skaters,
MCs.
You know what I mean? So then they created. Did they already have Rough Mode already within Urban Joint?
They were
or
already,
that became.
I think when they
separate.
Did the split.
Okay.
When they did the split, because they weren't agreeing with what Matt Young, what he wanted to do.
Oh, he was managing them. Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were opening for everybody.
Yeah, because Matt Young.
Yeah. They're opening for Cypress, I remember.
Right. Matt Young was there, you know. And I knew Matt because I was working stage and doing shows, you know, concerts and conventions. And, you know, that was actually, I got to say, if it wasn't for my job doing conventions and concerts, doing sound and lights as a labor, you know, technician, I probably wouldn't. Because I got to know Mari and Sheriff Norm and, you know, and, you know, got a big up. Big shout out to Sheriff Norm because he made a huge difference in the creative scene in the 90s here. Like, because, you know, it was almost like he was gambling, but his gambling was do Bad Religion. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's do the Ghetto Boys. Let's do DJ Quick.
I never heard it put that way, but
it kind of was, bro, because like, there wasn't really a lot of, you didn't know if he was going to make your money back, you know? And that was right over here at C5.
Yeah.
Min.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because we had Sean Speedy Lopez on. And he talked about Sheriff Norm, you know.
Yeah, and Norm made a huge difference, bro. He's and Mari, you know, for Golden Voice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they made huge differences. And because they knew me, they threw me on a lot of things, you know. A lot of respect and love to them because that way I got to get my feet wet. And because, you know, when you first get on stage in front of people, it's you're naked.
Yeah. So you're DJing for a lot of
Yeah, I've been DJing a while already. So when you're on the mic and, you know, it's your own thing.
Right.
See, playing other people's music is one thing, but when it starts to be your own thing, you know, not self-aware, but self-consciousness, you know.
So how did Lyrical Buzz eventually evolve into Homegrown Massive?
Just cats like Buzz and Aisha, Caspone, like walking in, Us and Us Goodfellas, they were called at that time.
Us and Us Goodfellas. Yeah. Was Aisha or Casper and Buzz?
Yeah.
And how did you meet
They
Casper
walked into the
Buzz?
Studio. They walked into the studio. We were recording, like, hey, yo, we want to run for you, man. And it was like, all right. So then, you know, you let them go. And then, you know, we just denied them. And same like Jamal, you know, we're always open to that's why, you know, being open to you was nothing because you never know who's going to be that great love, that great influence, that great inspiration in your life. You know, if you shut that out because your ego tripping too hard, you're cheating yourself, bro. Yeah. Don't cheat yourself out of inspiration because at some point in life, it runs out. You know, if you can keep it going, that's one of the biggest challenges as a 50-plus-year-old man is to stay inspired, to stay thinking, to stay in it, you know, like how, because, man, this whole beautiful ride ends.
Right.
You know, you got to appreciate it. And that's one of the things about the past. I don't know. Man, we had it beautiful. It was great. It was amazing.
Yes.
I don't know if we all appreciated it enough.
Yeah. Well, that's what.
You know, you don't know. That's the age-old saying. You never know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, you know.
But it don't got to be like that, though. You can. See, that's where elders and you know, being loved by people that are having elders comes in is that, you know, the value. But when we all live so in the moment that, like, all that matters is right now and me getting mines.
Right.
It kind of plays everything.
It does.
We devalue even ourselves.
And I think that's kind of what happened with music in general, you know, and the scene and the quote-unquote. The culture nowadays. But anyway, let's rewind real quick because I want to work our way down. Nah, dude, that's all knowledge, and I love that stuff. I love it. So Homegrown Massive starts. So it's the same crew pretty much. And then what up to Mouse, MC Mouse? He kind of just started doing his own thing?
Yeah, well, he just stopped rhyming so much, you know? Right. After when everything started to fall apart, and like that's when I actually started getting into jungle drum and bass because the MCs, there was too much grumbling. For not enough, you gotta put money down, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, shit ain't free.
Yeah.
Electricity don't pay itself. Gear don't buy itself. Mics don't repair themselves. Yeah. speakers,
my gear, time.
You know what I mean? CDs. Yeah, not even. I wasn't even tripping on my time.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But I was taking away from my kids and my relationship, you know, and my family. And but it's okay because that was my family too.
Yeah, yeah. So but, one point, Homegrown Massive. So what year was that when Homegrown Massive pretty much started? It was like 93?
Nah, like 91.
91?
Yeah, 91.
So you had Trans, you had you, yeah. You had Chris, then you bought.
I don't even have a clear timeline of what, in my memory of what the years were. I'd have to look it up, you know what I mean?
And then Buzz came on, Aja came on. Yeah. Sarandi was considered. Who was considered?
Yeah,
who was considered Homegrown Massive?
Yeah, Sarandi, the Magalanes brothers. Right. Double J, Heinsky. Man, we had so many.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then we actually got together with T Double and like, you know, Bizarro and the Wild Kingdom from LA and like,
okay,
yeah, there's a bunch. Man, there's so many.
Real quick,
and Case from Oregon and.
So who was the Wild Kingdom?
That was Bizarro and Ruckus.
Okay, so Bizarro and Ruckus, and those guys are from where?
I met them for Jamal from LA.
They're, from LA,
yeah,
because they were here for a minute. I remember them being in the ciphers.
The God Bizarro.
So those guys were never a part of the Abyss.
And they were boys. They were homies. They were close.
Right.
I wouldn't say they weren't part of it, but I don't know if they're
they were cool like that.
Yeah, you know, they're all brothers. They're, you know.
Yeah. So then, okay, so then this is great because Homegrown Massive's there. Everybody's DJ Static.
Yeah.
Homegrown Massive, Monty.
Yeah, that's where One Night Stand got it and Sweet Pea.
Right. So One Night Stand, speak on Stan because is he New York? Is he?
I don't know what happened to him, but Stan was a monster, but he could rock.
So when I first came to the scene, I learned about Cypher Bullies. And there's a few Cypher Bullies, which was One Night Stand and Buzz One.
And Buzz One, definitely.
Straight up. I
remember them doing that to Funk Dubious even.
Oh, nice. But Stan was like a machine, dude.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Dude. So he was down with Homegrown.
But you know, it's like biology, you know?
Yeah.
Nature will come fucking eat you. But it's kind of beautiful because it's not personal.
No.
It's just what got to get done.
It's got to get done.
Right?
It needed to happen. The intimidation.
Like Thanos, you know? Like,
oh, 100%.
Things just got to get done. It's just nature.
And
I like that about Stan, that, you know, that hunger that like.
And you know what's funny? I don't think he knew it. He knew what he was doing was a good thing. Right? A lot of people's like, either it's a sink or swim, right? You're either going to bite back or get bit, right?
Right, and bite back and get bit. That's what it is. You know what I mean? Usually if you bite back, they won't bite so hard next time.
So speak on One Night Stand since we got you on the mic.
Where was
One Night Stand from?
I knew him from here, like Honolulu, just in general. I don't know exactly where he was born, but man, he was a monster.
How'd you link up with Stan?
Monty Static and,
Static.
And Sweet Pea. I did a bunch of stuff for Sweet Pea too.
But Sweet Pea was from New York though.
Yeah, right? But he lived here.
What made him move to Hawaii? Do you know the story?
I think
it was
family.
Okay.
And then he got with Janice, his wife. And they had kids here, you know?
Yeah, so I tripped out when I was here and I was like, wait, Sweet Pea. I kept telling people, wait, that guy, isn't that guy like rock steady? Like
New York? Yeah.
New York?
Mr. Wiggles got him in.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah,
he battled Mr. Wiggles out here
to get into rock steady.
And then when it started drying up out here, he's just like, man, I'm going to go to New York.
So was Static?
At one point, we all wanted to go to New York.
Yeah, everybody wanted to go to New York. So was Static's
Mecca,
Root Funk?
Right?
Was
it's
that
like
a,
going to Mecca?
Was that a different thing? Static's Root Funk?
That was its own thing. That was its own thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened to Monty.
Yeah. Oh, he's in California right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep in touch with him. I'm trying to get him on here if he ever comes back to Hawaii.
That's cool.
Because he played a big part with on Radio Free.
Yeah, right? No doubt.
With the listening party. Anyway, so moving along. So Homegrown Massive is going on, but then all of a sudden this influx of new kids come in.
With Abyss? Or?
No.
Because they were there and they can't even deny them. And,
no.
Oh, you're talking about the Humanakas.
Yes. Okay.
The high
so,
state. Yeah.
So, boom. Homegrown
the
Massive.
The Humanakas, they knocked me out. That was through Buzz and Gio.
Okay.
Like, that was that arm of people. And,
right.
You know, they came in and, they were tight. I remember.
So, you were both. So, the Homegrown Massive were there. And you had like, you know, you had Buzz. And
then
had,
that created high state.
That created high state.
Right.
So, how did the birth of high state?
Which was Invisible Incorporated, too.
Right. And who's the first? I mean, how did High State evolve from Homegrown Massive?
From the Humanakas.
Humanakas.
Yeah, that was the Humanakas. That was, you know, High State was there.
Right.
And we all, you know, evolved into together.
I mean, I can't say all their names, but Humanakas,
yeah,
Sixth
Size
Sense,
One was in
size.
It. Yeah, like there's all kinds of cats in it. Man, you know, it's so deep, and the Abyss was so deep. I swear, like 25 MCs.
Yeah.
But at Soul 69 or at Midnight Troglodyte, DJ Min's show.
Yeah, Midnight Troglodyte. There you go.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was on Fridays at midnight, right?
Okay, and on K2H too, right?
Yeah.
But it always bleed into, did it bleed into each other? So 69 was
Well,
on,
we cross over. We were right, all boys. Right. So we show up at each other's things, you know what I mean? And we just all take turns rocking.
I keep forgetting DJ Min's show. Was it called the Chocolate?
The Midnight Troglodyte.
Was on K2H2. My bad, Min. So we got High State, right?
Yeah, Min is a big influence on me too.
High State, I would say would be 90.
And East too, actually.
No, Min is 9. High State would be like 95.
Five. Yeah, we were a few years in. Probably about 95. 5 years in.
I always consider them, you know, put them like the Wu-Tang of Hawaii, kind of. You know,
yeah, well, I thought the Abyss was the Wu-Tang of Hawaii.
Right, but then the Abyss came in. So let's talk about the Abyss, because that's a huge thing in Hawaii.
They were a huge influence. Where did they come from?
Like, they're from all over. Yeah.
Some of them from Big Island. You know, they're all brothers, all black guys. Yeah. That were, you know what I mean? Some of them were military, T-Bone and, you know, Master Fu. And there was a bunch of them, and probably like 20. And I just remember these Soul 69 epic 20-on-20 MC battles.
Right.
And that's where you came in, and you put in. I was like, man, let these other cats get some. You know, let them get some. You know what I mean?
Because right.
Fools gotta be hogging things. Because I remember even at the ITF, I was the last DJ doing the final thing, and I had like Abstract Rude, and I had one of the guys from Cold Crush Brothers, and Chief Sun. Was it Chief Sun from LA?
Chief Sun.
That's Big Time's brother.
Okay.
Monster and Big Time.
Yeah,
they're from LA. Samoan guys, and they're rhyming with us too.
Wow.
Yeah, they're dope, man. But
so people that don't know, what was the Abyss? Who was the Abyss? Because I'm gonna frame it as High State was all local guys all over. Y'all clicked up.
And some of the local brothers were local black brothers too, that they're from Big Island.
Right.
That, you know.
But then Abyss came, and they kind of came in.
Yeah, they were on that woo game. What bitches?
Mob Deep. Wu-Tang.
Like, yeah, they had that that gritty. They could rhyme, though.
And what was the static at that time?
It was just ego. It was just ego. It's just like mic time, recognition. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
and all culminated to...
And you know how people are. Like, I mean, I've seen it with friends, bro. Like, people that love each other, they're close. And then when the rhyme just gets too much, it's like they get personal.
Yeah.
And your feelings and your ego trip gets offended, like... You know,
do you think that was a good thing?
I thought it was a great thing because I did music with all of them. Yeah. You know, so like, I mean, if you could have your shit together, you could. You know,
right.
It's like, because I just think sparring and natural like resistance is good for you.
Right.
If your crew can't give you resistance, then how the hell are you guys gonna make it, dog?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the minute you show up, everybody's gonna be like, man, you can't even rhyme. Shut up.
So was there ever a thing where it was like a more of a local thing, Hawaii versus like mainland thing?
No, I don't think so.
Locals versus.
I always thought of them as, you know, the business locals. I mean, you know, I didn't see them as any different. You know, I grew up in Oakland, so growing up with brothers has always been, you know, I've always been really close to the black community. And like, you know, it's like they were just other MCs to me, you know.
So a lot of the battles went down on Soul 69.
Yeah, a lot of them.
For people that don't know.
Man, those were some epic ones. There were some great recordings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I have any of them because I was there.
I don't know either.
So I wasn't recording anymore.
You were there a couple times?
I was there, but you know, it's funny. I used to record, then when I went there,
and then those turned to brawls.
Yeah, I was never a part of that, thank God.
Thank God, yeah. You know what? It was dumb because...
I got some stories that the people would be like, oh, I'm embarrassed because it's like I was embarrassed for them when I seen it.
Well, you know.
It was crazy. But I mean, when I went there... The names that I'd seen there was crazy because you'd have Fresca.
Yeah.
Spaz would be there.
Right.
Elite would be there.
Yeah.
Eddie L would be there. And these are all technically mainstream DJs.
But
they'd always go there.
Right.
And Danny One, Asia, DJ Asia.
Asia's bad.
DJ Min.
A lot of big respect to Asia.
Yeah, definitely. And shout out to Asia. Who else was there when we'd see that? Of course, all High State. But of course, you had Itaro and you had Size One.
Yeah, of course.
Then you had Derek D.
That was their show, Itaro. And so, you know, Itaro. Yeah. And he brought in, you know, Sizer, and yeah,
and that was a great time for hip hop. I don't know how long their show.
They were called Rare Form.
Yeah, how long their show?
Years, a couple years,
but that
years,
was a pinnacle point for Hawaii hip hop because
that was the golden era.
Yeah,
I think that was the golden era in hip hop. Period, though.
I think so too.
You know, and like that's just when it was like, it was a self and had its own homeostasis. It was birthing its own new stuff, and you know what I mean, recycling and.
And I feel at that time, too, we weren't, like, like, you know, I'm all the same age as all the Nakas and stuff like that. We were all not trying to sound
like anybody
else. Yeah, I really feel like we were creating our own sound. We really were.
Right.
Like, nobody sounded like any of us.
Well, you can tell, you know, when people would come into our town and we get to open for them, and, you know, the Cypher Circles, they would open up, and, you know, cats are, because even Abstract Roots said it on that La Costa song that we did, that, you know, we're freestyles in the islands, where freestyling is still, you know, appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, like, because the heavyweights, they were like the monsters of L.A., you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, they don't even get enough, the heavyweights don't even get enough rep in L.A., dude. Yeah. They made a difference in my eyes. That whole Good Life Cafe thing, you know?
Yeah, and you've worked with Ab Root and AC Alone.
Yeah, I know, well, they super influenced me.
Right.
Like, that was one of the dreams that I had was, and they were like some of my heroes, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
That Aloha track, the AC with AC Alone, says self-cost of AC Aloha.
Yeah.
And then the track with Ab Root and...
Yeah, like I did a couple of tracks, but not everything got out. But, you know, not really anything got out. But I have to be thankful that it even happened.
Right.
Because... You know, the treasure of life is a journey.
Yeah.
It's not what you make. It's not the paper. It's, you know, when you can reflect back and be like, wow, it's been a good life.
Yeah.
So it should be a good death.
Nice. So a lot of your sound that you created in that era, so we're talking about the era you worked with AC Alone, and you worked with Ab Root and the High State Cats and
Walter. Mikey Dredd was one of the, I remember Mikey Dredd, I got thrown out of my apartment for that one.
Well, he's recording?
Yeah, because we were doing Capital Fat up at Big City.
Right.
And it was a Tuesday night, and he didn't have a place to take a woman. He's like, and two grooves wanted to do a dub play with him for advertisement.
Wow, okay.
So I had a beat for him. I kicked him off a beat, and then he's, yeah, man, you know, because I had herbs, so he was going to go back and burn in my place. And he's like, yeah, man, he had a girl with him he wanted. And my roommate, who was not even a music head, like, but he knew who Mikey Dredd was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, man, we're going to get thrown out. And he's like, they go, it's Mikey Dredd.
What?
Like a once in a lifetime. Mikey's passing. Rest in peace, Mikey Dredd.
Yo.
You know, foundation, bro. Dredd at the controls.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, great man. Hula Reggae, I remember the song. And Johnny Sexton from Simplicity, man, he helped me hash that track out.
Wow.
Johnny Sexton from Simplicity was really a huge influence on me. Instrument-wise, musician-wise.
Did you have ties to local musicians? A lot of local
musicians? Yeah, I knew a lot of good. Well, you know, because I was doing battle bands at Dave & Buster's with Taco.
Okay.
You know, I was, like, doing audio for that.
Yeah.
Which is always stress because, man, you know, the first band, there's no pressure, but when that 8 o'clock changeover comes,
right,
bar's full, you know, trying to get their wedges in there to be able to hear each other. And you're like, you said go. Like, I didn't say go. You know, and then they can't hear, and then... They like lick you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. Jimmy Taco, I had a studio with him for a while too. Okay. Yeah. And
did you produce anything for Tasho on any of his albums when he went solo?
No. Tasho's had it on his own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, Tasho's a very instrumental person, bro. Immerse is like, he's a go-getter.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, he's like, makes things happen. Invisible Ink Corp. You know what I mean? Like, most people don't even remember Invisible, but, like, that was a good record.
That was a really good record, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Guijo. Shout out to Guijo for sure.
Mr. Rios, bro. Yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah. Slept on. I mean, you know, he's such a humble dude.
He
doesn't want any of this. But he's, I feel like, you know, dude, people need to know, like, you know.
That guy
is definitely.
He made a huge difference. Like, you know, like, I know Buzz was extremely loyal to him.
Yeah.
Buzz One was like, they were childhood friends. And then, like, he's like, yeah, Mr. Rios. And then. It was crazy how that thing just evolved into its own. And then it even incorporated us.
Yeah.
We, you know, like, I say got its own momentum so much that we just became part of it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you said you started branching out and making and producing and spinning other types of genres of music.
Yeah,
why?
It's earth music, you know?
Right.
Like, for every place and every time, there's a vibe. There's a music that, like, it ties me to my feelings and my experience. You know, it's like the force field of my life. It protects me from things. It makes me feel good. It's like, it's God sent.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to the Lord for music because it's been the thing that has been my best friend my entire life.
It's been the constant.
It's the constant.
The constant.
You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter where it's been. Different songs take me to different places.
Yeah.
And remind me about different people. You know,
I have
a real broad array of friends and associates and acquaintances, and You know, it takes everything to be everything. And
yeah.
I might not agree with everything, but I do think that the good, the bad, the ugly, it's all beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, because you need contrast, right? Rigidity. Yeah. It's not any one thing. Is everything in relation to everything else?
Right.
It makes things stand out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like colors when you're graph piecing. You want colors that contrast because they stand, you know, make your lines
pop.
Yeah,
pop. Something's got to set inset. Something's got to pop.
Exactly. If everything just mushes together, it's but at times it has to.
Right.
You know, you get to that point. It's an evolution. Like art, I believe the spirit of art is an incredible thing. I try and look at my life as art. You know, I apply it as, because one, you can get away. You know, art gives you a lot of leeway. If you're being artistic, you know, you're not so constrained by the normality of thought, like, oh, you're not doing this. Like, yeah, man, because I'm, you know, I'm approaching this from an artistic perspective.
Right.
Creation, you know what I mean? I have no boundaries. I have no thoughts. And, you know, like, art is the thing that the human spirit can take in and process, like roots music, roots reggae music, Bob.
Yeah.
And then that suffrage song, they regurgitate it. And, man, there's just millions of people who live on that alone. They have nothing. But they have roots, you know what I mean?
They have music.
Yeah, and to be able to internalize that suffrage and then externalize it as a piece of art that's beautiful, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's magical. Yeah.
That's a gift.
It's truly one of the
magical. I mean, we all have it, but, you know, some of us hone the gift.
Yeah, some people are stronger than others.
Yeah.
But you know what? Even to get a taste of it is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like it's a gift.
Yeah.
Life is a gift. Be present.
Yeah.
You know?
So speaking of music, let's take it to the future. I mean, you've seen artists, you've worked with artists, you've seen the highs, the lows of hip-hop in Hawaii. What do you think it would take, or why hasn't anybody hit that mainstream or, like, broken out from Hawaii? What is it? What is it holding us back? What is the? Do you have a formula? Do you have any insight into why that has not happened yet?
I think it ain't what you're about. It's who you know in most things in this world. You know what I mean? That, like, and you know what? In reflection, I'm glad I never really made a music. There's too much devil idolatry and, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So many things that are under the surface that, you know, I'm just trying to give thanks and praises. I'm trying to live thanks.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need the money. Like, the money doesn't make me, it doesn't hurt me, you know what I mean? It's like, it's there, and it influences everything. But when it becomes the majority of your influence, it's tainted. You know what I mean? Life music is what it's about. You know, like, the soundtrack to my life. You know, that's why when Bahi reposted that stuff, it was like, wow. I really needed that. Like I said, it brought me to tears because I had lost all that stuff, and I was like, and so many people I truly love that I have nothing but those memories. You know what I mean?
Right.
To have the song is really nice.
Yeah.
To have the song and to be able to, like, wow. You know, and, like, some of the songs on that album were, like, really personal. It was about the breakup of my family, you know.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah.
It was, like, so many of it. It's like, if I made nothing at all, I truly count it as my wealth. Because I was here. I got to create. I got to live on earth. I got to be blessed and bless others.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that's really what it's about. Like, money fades, you know. You can't buy integrity, and, you know. You can buy fake love, but true love is understanding and unconditional support, you know. It's like, they're rarities. You have to cherish that.
Yeah.
You know, embrace it and be thankful for it. And, like I said, there's a lot of evil in the money of this world. And the corporate structure of music is, they're a slave master, man. They're a slave master. I mean, Prince was saying his whole life about, you know, the percentages that were taken. It's just, it's underhanded, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they're owning your, I mean, they're not even creating, you know? They're just, they're the money man. But money makes the world go around. Oh, no, that's centripetal force.
Yeah.
That's what makes the world go around. It ain't money.
Right, right.
But, you know, it gets twisted. And I don't know. I'm not into the twist. No offense, Chubby Checker.
Yeah. And that's it. Danny One with the knowledge. Danny One.
It's just life experience.
Thank you for everything, my man. I appreciate everything
bro.
That you've done for me as well as for my hip hop.
For me.
And for blessing all of us.
You know, it's selfish. I did it all for me because this is what I do. It's my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as long as I'm alive, I plan on just expressing myself if not, I might blow up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I know what
you mean. It's therapy, bro.
Yeah, it is therapy.
Yeah, it is therapy. You know?
And yeah.
That's, I deserve to be okay.
Right.
And that's all I'm ever striving to do. Mm. Have a good life. Have a good death. Be okay. Live thanks and be grateful.
Yes. And on that note, this is Ala Nui Mele with Danny One on PBS Hawaii.
Bless.
Peace.
Mahalo for listening to Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii. Introduction beat by Just One Old. You can listen to Ala Nui Mele on all streaming platforms. And check us on social media at PBS Hawaii or www.pbshawaii.org.